how you doing? Welcome back here once again for another episode of Roll Digs, the official podcast of Montana Tech Athletics. I'm Paul Panisco, and again, thanks for joining us. We have some great stuff on the horizon. We are quickly making our way to the start of fall season, and of course, that means summer is over. I'm not sure where it went, but yeah, it's gone. We have volleyball on the docket first. We will have football immediately after that. Golf is on the horizon as well. We'll talk about all that. But we are going to start with volleyball. Is volleyball officially reporting as of Friday, August 1st? The ladies will be in the building. Coach Solomon is ready to roll for year, 14 for Coach Solomon. Has done just a phenomenal job here at Montana Tech. Has been to the dance a lot, several Frontier Conference championships, and just a great guy. You know, I normally, any conversation that Coach Solomon and I have together, I would feel like there needs to be, you know, like a warning. And I'm not talking like a Tipper Gore, like an explicit content kind of warning. I'm talking more for your own sanity. Be prepared for what we're going to talk about, because Coach Solomon and I, in the span of 4 sips of coffee, we'll start on something like Spruce Moths. We'll jump from there to different Pringles flavors. That might lead into like the best Pearl Jam albums in our opinion. Then that, of course, naturally segues into like American Legion pitch counts. And then it might end up with like hitting percentages of Tex Mittels over the last 10 years. That's kind of how our conversations operate. And honestly, I think that's how both of our conversations operate, even away from each other. But Coach Solomon, truly one of my favorite people. He does things different, and there's a whole lot I envy about the way that Coach Solomon looks at life, the way he approaches the game, the way he approaches coaching. He has a very, opposed to the rest of the coaching world, he has a very different lens that he looks through, and it's always fun to talk to him. It's actually more fun to give him hell all the time about kind of the way he goes about things. But Coach Solomon getting ready for year 14, and honestly, what I was kind of looking for out of this is to kind of chat about summer, to talk about the buildup for this year, talk about the new recruits that are coming in, and then what we will do later on. So we've got the Big Sky Challenge coming up April 21st, 22nd, 23rd at the Butte Civic Center. As every year, Coach Solomon organizes a tremendous tournament where talent from all across the country makes their way here to the Mining City. Before the Big Sky Challenge, he and I will check in again to find out how fall has gone and kind of get you prepared for those matches during the Big Sky Challenge. So look forward to that. Again, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us for Roll Digs. This is Coach Brian Solomon. Coach, how you doing?
Hey, Paul. I'm doing wonderful.
Are you sure?
I'm wonderful, and I appreciate the opportunity to get on the air with you. I think I'm the guy, must be the last person in the building, so I know you've been hiding me. I know you've been hiding me.
Do you need
me.
A hug?
No. I'm used to not being let out in public, but I look forward to the opportunity anyways. Try to do better and be a good interview for you.
Eeyore, it'll be okay. We'll find your tail soon.
Not for 4 months.
ladies and gentlemen, again, Coach Brian Solomon, volleyball coach at Montana Tech. We actually enter the room today with a game plan, with kind of a, I wouldn't say we have a full out, you know, like a path for our questioning and what we're going to discuss. But I believe it is more than we normally do, and I still know that we're going to go off the rails so badly, but we'll try and keep her between the weeds.
I'm more excited that you said that this is picked up in how many countries. I know we have incredible alum and supporters, and as they travel the world, they lock in and they tune in, and they're excited to follow Ordiger Athletics.
A little scary, actually.
It's what makes this special.
I think I have my running tally. All right, so let's see here. As of right now, we are 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 19 countries, and we are 31 states in the District of Columbia.
That's fantastic.
Is our current listening audience, if you will. And imagine how it's going to balloon now that you're here.
Finally,
Coach Brian Solomon is here.
Or there's someone that just tunes in and they're you know, they're, yeah, who knows?
All right, so stop. The main thing, I'm interested to talk to you. Obviously, you know, through the summer, I give you a hard time and you're busy and you're motivating around a ton of camps. But I want to talk about this, like, we're getting ready for fall camp. We're recording this a couple days before fall camp actually starts. You'll get started on Friday, August 1st. That's actually when we'll release the podcast. So we'll act as though that is when things are going to go down. Talk about where you're at, because I know your mind runs at 100 miles an hour in both directions, forward and backward. And maybe you're playing 4 or 5D chess too. maybe. Where's your mindset at as you get ready to start camp?
For me now, the excitement of building the roster is coming. We're already there. There's a lot of unknowns for us every year, but this year more in particular. Okay. I think as a program, I saw last year and I saw this year as a 2-year step in us rebuilding the program. I kind of would go back to 2016. When we got to the national tournament, we had a team loaded of seniors, and when we came in that season, we knew we had it. We knew we had enough, and we needed to see those seniors come through and take us to that next level. It was not easy. It was a hard season, and every good season is hard. But with that, we graduated most of the roster. I thought it was going to take another 3 years to reset the program, get us back into the mix. And lo and behold, since really 2016, we've been on a, I would say, short cycle. We're working a lot of new players in every season. Mm-hmm. With that, we've had some really good seasons in the mix and some of our best seasons since 2016. But every year there's so many unknowns. And I think we've learned maybe how to integrate our system, adapt our system quickly every year, and kind of create good expectations of our new players, expectations of our returners that can grow into new roles. And so we're in the middle of that now. Today and this week, I'm just trying to reset myself as far as remembering and reminding myself that we have 8 new players coming in. Four of them were here in the spring. No, 3 of them were here in the spring.
Okay.
But regardless, this is their first fall with us. Mm-hmm. And so I have nearly half a team that is going to go through this for the first time. And when I think of the lessons that I think we teach on a regular basis, it's not always step 1, step 2, step 3, and we cover everything in the first 10 days or in the first season. But, you know, the experience accumulates and they learn those lessons over time, and our players are stronger, deeper, richer as an athlete when they've been here two and 3 years. And mm-hmm. I'm kind of realizing and acknowledging to myself that we have a lot of players that have not gone through any of that with us. So just trying to think more through our culture, our expectations, the standards that we want to operate, that we have operated, where we want to change that, and really how to prepare it in a way that they can grasp and run and go be successful with it.
So it is kind of a checklist, if you will, of, you know, if you have a year where you have a lot of returners, where you have a few new bodies, your coaching style is going to be very different, and how you approach August, the first couple mm-hmm. weeks anyway, is going to be very different this year because of the 8 new bodies.
Yeah, and we actually had a similar roster last year. We had a lot of new players last year, so we took a lot of effort to go really slow for me to articulate what we're trying to do, how we're doing it, and why we're doing it. And last year was a first. It was kind of a first in that sense in a while. And so I think I just you know, Christy and I need to do a good job with that. Our returners, you know, I know Reese is doing a great job, and she's going to do a great job helping our freshman setter do the same thing and making sure that she understands she would tell you and have a great laugh on the air with you and say, my freshman year, it was Reese and McKenna and myself. We would meet, and sometimes I'll meet more with the setters just to try to help them understand what we're doing, why we're trying to do it, the layers of what our offense may be. And she would leave that meeting smiling, going, I don't know what you just... She would tell McKenna, I have no idea what he said. What does this mean? And so it's, you know, but I have incredible returners too that will help our underclassmen, our new players integrate and be on the same page with us.
What do you look at, like say, with eight new returners again this year? I guess first, before we get into that, what did you kind of learn about yourself, your coaching process, you and Christy's process last year in this scenario, and now getting ready for year two with kind of a new hall and some new bodies in the locker room?
I think last year reaffirmed to me how much culture matters. I told you this last year, we were going to have the nicest bunch of losers, the nicest bunch of winners. It was an amazing group compiled of great people mm-hmm. that if I could have them all over for dinner, you know, twice a week, I would still have, it would be fantastic. Yeah.
And no joke to anybody listening, the amount we talked about that and that sentence right there, the idea of we're going to have the nicest bunch of losers or the nicest bunch of winners in the world. And that was something that was discussed quite often with you and I, pretty much in the same situation we are right now.
I adored that team. I loved them. They were precious. It was such a good group. And we've had great teams. We've had players. I genuinely would like to tell you on air, I genuinely like most of our players. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, they're here for a reason, and they're here because I saw great things in them. I love the dynamic they bring to the group, and whatever. But last year was just a compilation of an entire roster that you'd like to invite over for Thanksgiving, and just or a Sunday night dinner, or now that Megan Minton's out in Tennessee, she can supper. whatever meal supper is, I would invite the whole team over for supper. And I say that I lived in Tennessee for 3 years. I still don't know what supper is.
Kim.
But the team was wonderful. So we have this great new dynamic, a big wave of players coming in. I would say I was thinking about this before we were talking. We probably, on any given day, you're going to play with probably five or six hitters on the court. Right now we are looking at four to five potential new hitters that are going to be playing and being in significant opportunities. We have a senior coming back. Kennedy's been has really grown into a pivotal piece for us over in her role last year. Mm-hmm. And she's in a great position right now to take on a new challenge and being one of our premier hitters. And with that, we graduated two middles, we graduated our right side. And so we have very, very good competitive players in the gym. It's going to be a new look for them.
Okay. What do you look at as your early challenges? Kind of that, the idea of figuring out who's where, kind of roles, is that kind of where you're at, or what do you view as your early challenges?
What I'm looking for the most in this first couple weeks is two things, a few things. I would say, one, I need to help teach them what we're doing and where we want to be and how we want to function as a unit. So a little bit of the how. The competition is going to be something hopefully we get a great chance to enjoy watching. So there's going to be a ton of competition. And with that, I am looking for them to fail as many times as possible and see how we can respond and react and grow and develop. The more we can fail in competitive environments, the better, because it's going to give them the closest look and feel and give me the best look at who is ready to take on these challenges.
Let's talk about yourself and your coaching style. I mean, the idea you talk about, recruiting, it feels like you're recruiting culture as much as you're recruiting anything. Obviously, skill is a very good component in that as well. But how has that changed through the years? You know, the idea of how has your recruiting style changed? What are the different things that you're looking at now that maybe you didn't really recruit, you know, in year one as opposed to now? How have you changed in that respect?
I think I've become a little more confident in this respect. I think Christy and I have always been pretty strong at evaluating our talent. You know, we have certain players that we like. We like to see their physicality, the nature of how they interact with us, and it's one of two ways. One, we are always trying to recruit the best athletes we can find, yeah. And there's a cap. You have to have the talent. But I think we've often been successful without the best player in the league. Now, I can say that, and
you've had a stretch of the best player in the league.
We've had a stretch of pretty darn good players.
Yeah.
But with that, I mean, we have had absolute studs. I think every great team has a best player.
Yeah.
The team has a best player, but we have seen that sometimes our best player in the wrong environment is not the best player in the league now. They're the best player when we have the right team around them and we have the right team functioning together and exploiting our strengths. So I wouldn't equate it to, you know, running a basketball game and saying, hey, this guy's going to get us 20. And it almost doesn't matter what we do. They're going to get us 20 and 10. And we just need to help the rest of the roster support that.
Yep.
Right? I think our success has been because of the way the whole unit can work together. But with that, you know, I back to your question, go ahead.
No, is it harder to recruit to that though? Like if it's the whole unit, if you're looking for pieces, or is it the idea of you're getting athletes in that are able to fit into multiple position pieces rather than trying to get one?
No, the fun to me is there is no one mold. We are always a moving target.
Yeah.
The puzzle is always changing. So every year the puzzle changes. So we have a lot of pieces and we need to figure out what the picture looks like that helps us win. And I think we've done a good job with that as a program. So, we look at it, we try to evaluate everything and say, hey, what does the one winning picture look like and how can we incorporate that? And how can we prepare them to try to find that together? Some years it may be one hitter is really going to take on something a little bit different. Maybe our offense is changing. Maybe, you know, any number of things.
How long does it take new players to realize that there's no that you are exactly who you are? There's no BS. There's no smoke and mirrors. You are, as I sit here right now, you are across my desk from me. You've got your feet up, your flip flops on. And you're kind of sulking because we ran out of coffee pretty early when it boils right out, down to it.
Yeah, it was a short cup of coffee.
It was. Does it take a while for them to realize that? Oh, yeah, this is exactly who you're going to be.
I don't know. You know what? When you say that, it's funny. I can think of players that were easy to coach, were hard to coach. Regardless of that, I was a great coach for them. And I also think of the players I was a terrible coach for that I just couldn't help connect to get them where I thought their top end potential is. Mm-hmm. And a coaching friend of mine said, you know, he goes, almost a rule of thirds, right? A third of the players tend to not really, they progress on track. They progress, they do what they're going to do. He said, a third of the players exceed expectations sometimes. Just they make leaps and bounds. And you go, man, I'm glad I picked them up because I didn't see that ceiling. And then the third just kind of stay where they're at.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I don't know how accurate that is, but I think of that portion that I can't help progress. And then that one sticks with me too. So the freshmen, my word of advice for them is, stay on the trail, stay with a group, don't get eaten by a bear. Other than that, just this will work. I caught you by surprise with that one.
That's accurate. I'm kind of with the thirds as well. And there's a lot of points there in my estimation is one. Obviously, it's not going to be a strict third across the board anytime, but that's probably pretty accurate. And I love the fact that, and it doesn't surprise me at all, you know, considering you, one of my good friends, is that the bottom third, if you will, the third that doesn't get to where you envision them being able to get.
That one stings.
It has to drive you crazy.
It drives me nuts.
And it isn't from the part I don't want people to get confused on. This isn't like a wins and losses or anything else. This is a, like, you want to see them be the absolute best person and best athlete they can be. And the idea of you not getting them there has to just drive you incredibly nuts.
Yeah. It is, but it doesn't take away from the great work that's going in for those athletes or mm-hmm. for us trying everything we can, but sure. And our culture is so results driven that it half the time it's teaching them that everything we're doing is to do everything we can to be better, to be the best version of ourselves as an athlete, as a teammate, as a person, as a student. And we can't, the goal is not to hang your hat only on was I on the court? Was I doing this? How many points did I score? All those things. That's the absolute opposite of the benefit of athletics.
Well, our world is results driven. And that's why when JT and I did overtime with Foley all those years, we always loved when you come up because you're cut out of a, I don't even, everybody else is cut out of something and you're cut out of something completely different. And I don't even know what that is.
You tell me every year and I still haven't figured it out. I need to either write some notes or figure out what.
You obviously skipped a lot of the coaching, the classes that deal with like coach speak. Well, because you don't have any of that.
I just skip all your other podcasts when I haven't learned to copy what they say.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Okay. Well, that looks like our time is up. No. Yeah, I think that part of it's hilarious. And we talk about being result driven. This is where things get fun. Coach Brian Solomon, what was your record last year?
I don't know. I don't know what our record's been in a year. I don't know what we were ranked in the national poll, yep, on which day.
That was my next question. Okay. Is where did you end up in the final? The top 25 poll. I mean, none of it. The world is so set on those. You know, the idea of numbers and. Except for you. What's important? So that said.
All right. I'll give you a comment. Yes, I will comment.
But let me continue on this because okay. It's kind of a long arc.
Okay.
So you don't know what your record was. You don't know where you finished in the final top 25. As we sit here right now at the start of training camp,
we're undefeated.
There you go. Your record currently. What's important for you then? What are the goals?
That's part of my number one thing that I want to do with them this next week
is set goals.
Is get them to sit down and be serious about it.
Okay. When you say them, does that include you and Christy as well, or do you kind of remove yourself from that process? Other than it, like no, trying to get them to decide.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the best way to respond accurately to that. There has to be a some level of player led and player buy-in,
mm-hmm.
but this is not the deaf leading the blind here. I mean, we have done this and we have been a part of this. So, the matrix, they won't listen to this. So I'll tell you they won't listen to this.
Yeah.
There's a couple facets to this. One, if your goal is just to be good enough, that's as far as you're ever going to reach. Rarely will an athlete or a person set a goal and say, you know, that goal is good for you, but it's not even close for me. And my goal is way up here. You've heard, and the listeners probably will track, and Nick Saban says that high achievers hate mediocrity, and mediocrity hates high achievers,
mm-hmm.
right? So I have to draw some level of that high achievement and that high standard. So we have to set that. And if we don't, it's awful. It is awful when you have a couple players bought in and you have a couple players that are just waiting it out till they can get out of the season. And,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to be the star of the show, and you don't have to be playing to be going for that high achievement, right? We don't. But there's a second element of that. The high achievement is not a result. That high achievement isn't to say we want to win the conference. End of story, right? Because there's so much that goes into out of our control. You know, I think what I want them to understand is we want to become a championship team, right? There's a difference between the result and there's a difference between the quality and the standard that you were going to function at.
Mm-hmm.
So I can really I can see the value of we want to become X. Okay, what is that? And we need to be serious about that. This is a good exercise because also I don't think our opposing coaches in the Frontier will be listening to this. They're not in the 30 other countries.
Wow,
listening.
So you're just throwing me under the bus at every corner. No, feel free. No, go ahead. Nobody listens. No problem.
Mo's not listening to me. pick a sport. All right, let's do football. Okay. Let's start football. Who's in contention in the national championship for this year?
As far as for college football?
Yeah, let's go college football.
I don't know. You'd have to. I'm sorry. I'm an SEC fan, so that's where I focus first.
All right. Well,
Michigan.
You know,
Ohio State.
Okay, Michigan, Ohio State.
Your norms.
Okay,
and brand recognition, and that's certainly a big part of all sports. And we've obviously been talking about the top 25 a lot lately.
Yeah,
that falls into there.
Okay, so Michigan, Ohio State. How about Oregon? Oregon has
I'd have to assume they're in there.
They're going to be in the mix.
Yep.
So then hit our ICC. You can go Texas and Alabama,
yep.
Georgia.
Yep.
Are there six?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know. Anyone else really in the? Do we Notre Dame? How about let's get Notre Dame?
Yeah, throw the Irish in there. Yeah,
throw the Irish in there.
Okay.
We're seven. I'm sure we're missing some, right?
Oh yeah.
And we have some real football fans that are probably going you're
chew our faces off.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Like, that's why you're a volleyball coach because you don't know. But it's a small group. If we're saying a national championship caliber program, it's a small group. Well, why are they national championship caliber? Now, aside of NIL now in the direction, but 3 years ago we would probably have come up with the same list, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
5 years ago, we're not far off the same list.
Yeah.
6 years, you know. So if you want to go the last 8 to 10 years, you're gonna. We got to seven. Let's say we would add at least three more that were in the mix for a duration of serious.
You're gonna have a couple anomalies every year.
Fluctuate in and out. Texas A&M, I mean, there's schools that are intent on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's schools intent on that. Well, yes. I'm looking forward to the exercise with them to say, give me a list of Final Four teams for Division I volleyball. I think my group will come up with 8 to 10.
Okay.
They'll go through that, and I can pull up the top 25 list, you know, for them, the coaches poll. And not all of those teams win their league every year. Right.
Yeah.
You may get the second place team out of the ACC. Louisville and Pitt have been going to the Final Fours here in the last several years for volleyball. They're in the same league, right? Well, only one wins the league.
Yeah.
Right. But it doesn't discredit the fact that that's a team that's trying to be in the Final Four. That's a team that's trying to win a national championship. So the exercise is going to be tell me who is in the NAI. Who is it this year? Right. So, you know, when we make goals. Originally, when I started here, the goal is to get better, right? The goal is to be in the top three. I very easily could have told you that on year two. I could have said, hey, what do I need to do to help us get in the top three and start going the right direction? The job was not to say, we want to be a Final Four team. You know, I'd been here 12 months or whatever.
Yeah.
But now what's the delineation between a team that is good enough to make the tournament, which we have been, a team that's good enough to and expected to win the opening round, which we have been consistently doing. Mm-hmm. What is the delineation now of a team that is favored to get out of pool play and make progressive run? We've been at the national tournament a number of times where we beat the top team in our pool. We beat teams that were, I think they were both number three. They're out of the same league, Marion and Indiana Wesleyan, on different years. Threw a wrench in it. We made the rounds of 16 when it was two teams went out of each pool. Now it's one. So
It goes to the final eight, right?
Yep.
So it instantly is the final eight, round of eight. So what is it that creates a team and creates a culture that is the expectation and that is the standard to become a team that is of that caliber, right? And so I'm looking forward to the exercise to see them process that.
Okay.
If that makes sense and that tracks, you know, what does that team look like? And give me the list of 12 teams that you would say they're the final eight team. They're a final four caliber team. There can't be more than probably 12.
It's funny listening to you talk about that and move forward. I go back to the discussion I had with Abby Clark. Your right side and middle hitter, phenomenal student athlete. I mean, the most picture perfect student athlete that comes to mind for me, I guess.
Sure.
But she, when she was talking about her run, in the multis, that idea of not trying to be exceptional in one, but rather, you know, raise her ground floor. So she's, so she's all around better. And it feels like that is really what you have done with this Montana Tech volleyball team is, you know, it's not always about shooting for, you know, kind of I don't want to say a fluke here, but where, you know, maybe you're jumping 6'5", but you're consistently clearing 6'2". You know, that idea of, and I think that's the idea of building a program and that national name. Like your Montana Tech has been in the national spotlight now for a lot of years because you've hung out in the top 25 consistently. You have played, you know, the tournaments you've got on the road, got in front of Raiders, playing very good opponents, not only at your own Big Sky Invitational, but also at other tournaments throughout the years. And I think that speaks volumes to kind of what you're getting at.
Absolutely. Well, the results are a byproduct of the standard that we create.
Yeah.
And I have spent more time trying to process through what is that standard? When do I, and you know, as far as a coach, we're in the gym. Obviously we're in the gym a lot. There's a repetitive nature to everyone's job, no matter what you're doing, right? There is that day in, that day out. How often do I identify that standard and say, that wasn't really it, but I didn't address it. You know, to your other question, if we are not successful, it is on me, right? And if we are successful, it's them. But if we are not where I need us to be, where we want to be as a program, it's on me. I absolutely refuse to say it was on our seniors. I'm not gonna say our seniors weren't leading enough, yeah, or it is because of so and so, and they were a bad apple and poisoned the well.
Yeah.
Well, if they did, it's on me to not have that addressed, mm-hmm, as the head coach, and that's the way I've approached it. I'll tell you, for years, Christy, I couldn't tell you the last year. I probably could. I'd have to look at the roster because I know who it was. We haven't had a team captain in 10 years, because I think it's a distraction to what we're trying to accomplish. We have incredible leaders.
Mm-hmm.
I would encourage all of them to put team captain on their resume, and I will wave the banner for them when they leave here. If they graduate here and play for us for 4 years, absolutely. But I think that's unnecessary. It would be so short-sighted of me to do that and put them in a position to carry any more than they need.
Yeah.
I don't even know how long we've been going, how many tangents we've chased, but
we've chased a few, but most of them have still been on brand.
These are the things that we have operated off of, and like you said, as we get into a new year, it's a new year with new players to run these races with us.
And it is such a new year in so many facets, with the Frontier Conference expansion. In when we look at fall, football is ever expanding. The amount of new opponents we're going to see there. But when we look at volleyball, it gives us a really good idea of what we're going to see, obviously for volleyball, but also for winter. You know, now that we have the expansion of the Frontier Conference, we go east over to the Dakotas and Nebraska. The one thing I've always loved and always giving you a ton of credit for is that idea of making sure that you put your team in front of Raiders, to put your team against good opponents so that when it comes to national tournament time, you know, there's no question, so to speak, whether you belong there or not. Talk about what expansion means, because when I look at your schedule, we've got the Big Sky Challenge, you know, down at the Civic Center. We'll get into that in a minute. But then from there, you have one additional tournament, and then it's conference, period. Talk about that in a good side, and then obviously there has to be another side to it too, I would imagine.
Yeah, the scheduling was odd this year in a couple areas, but the coaches were very slow to move and make decisions as far as their preseason non-conference schedules. The NAIA had a proposal on the table. Everyone was trying to jockey around what the opening weekend was going to be and how that worked. There was a couple things I don't really love about our schedule this year, but at this point it was a little bit beyond my control.
Mm-hmm.
So we were scheduled to be the opening weekend, and then the NAIA approved a motion because of the odd calendar year with whatever how many days till the third Thursday and this and that, whatever they said was the start date. They moved up the opening weekend opportunity, but we stayed pat because we have travel, flight considerations for our tournament and our other tournament. But yeah, we had two open weekends to schedule, one of them being ours, and then one other opportunity to travel, and then we are starting. That opening conference trip is going to present a big challenge. I've always observed that our third weekend and us flying trips back to back or long travel back to back is a really, really hard result for us. It's usually a tough, tough weekend.
Okay.
I don't know if it helps us down the road, but it has been one of our hardest performing weekends. So that's the weekend we open conference, and we'll open up a new gym that we've never been to and against teams we haven't played really. And Valley City, we did play a few years ago in the national tournament, but, we've never played there. We've never been to a lot of these schools. So, yeah, it's going to have a completely different look and new challenges. But certainly look forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be like anything. I mean, there's going to be growing pains. There's going to be a lot of good to go along with it. The idea of 11 conference opponents, 12 teams in total. So you'll have 22 conference games. Home and away with everybody, including all of our Montana schools and then all of the new schools. That part is nice when you're like, all right, we've got 22 conference games. We're playing everybody home and away. We're not worried about playing somebody three or four times.
Oh, sounds amazing. Where can I sign up?
we hoped and dreamed about it for so long. How does that change now that we're in reality?
Well, the reality is probably over the last, I don't know how many years, I would say we have been a better road team than a home team. And I'll tell you that with honesty. We lost the conference championship last year, losing two home games to not the top couple teams that as far as the conference standings finished.
Yeah.
It goes to the quality of our teams that on any given day, we dropped a really tough game to Northern last year. I'm not going to tell you that we should have beat Northern three times in a row, but of all things, we lost that game at home, and that alone was the difference. We won two out of three against every opponent last year in the conference schedule, which under most given years in most sports is probably enough to win the league.
Yeah,
we won the season series with everyone last year, but two of those losses were at home, so playing at home is such a foreign deal for us, though, because for years we had five home games. We played 25 games, five of them at home. So my confidence was always high when we could get out of Montana and get to the national tournament, because I said, this is what we do every week. And I'm not saying that's an ideal situation, but that was the comfort. That was really the comfort food, is we know how to get to Omaha. We can get our rentals. We know where we're going. We get the hotel. That's just a work day for our team and for us as a program.
And, well, and now you're going to have this whole crazy situation where you have 11 home conference games.
It's going to be crazy. And by the way, most of the time we get, there's times I can't tell how many years we get to the end of the season and someone will ask Christy, hey, when's your season start? And she says, well, we're on the last week. Mm-hmm. Because we have so few home games, it's hard to keep track of. It's hard yep. to kind of, it's hard for that to be a part of the norm when you're on campus or in Butte or whatever to say, hey, it's a Friday, Saturday. Is volleyball in town? Because we were hardly ever in town. And so I do hope that that helps our fan engagement. I hope it helps the student experience for our players and for the campus community.
Agreed.
I think there's a big opportunity for that because we, you know, it's one, it's good volleyball is great to watch. It's fun to be around. We've done a very concerted effort to making the game, the home games a fun experience. Best thing we ever did was throwing paper airplanes all over the place and hitting everyone and, you know, safety goggles on. Here come the airplanes.
Well, we just make sure that OSHA isn't there.
Well, Christy's there, so that's your problem.
Well,
but you know, she's has a biased opinion.
She scares right me anyway, so that's fine.
Absolutely, yeah. She's yeah. from Butte. You know, she's tough as nails. Mm-hmm. But yeah, with the regularity, I'm hoping it really helps grow the program and grow the student experience, the campus experience. You know, I think we've seen that with basketball. By the time you get to February and March, and you know, it's part of the norm, and
yeah.
and you go, oh, let's check it out again.
Yeah.
You know, for us, you couldn't check it out again because we'd be back in 3 weeks for a random Thursday, and then be gone again for 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's amazing what consistency does.
Yeah, hope
you know, so again, 11 home conference games. That's not including the Big Sky Challenge mm-hmm. That will all be at the Butte Civic Center again this year. And that was another one. Once the ball got rolling as far as teams, it filled up all right? Because it felt like early you were having some trouble on getting teams.
No, I was very concerned. It was tough getting teams. And like I said, a lot of people were just moving late and sitting and kind of trying to – everyone wants to make an educated decision and make a good decision for their program. And mm-hmm. With the uncertainty from the NAI and start dates, et cetera. And we did just – we ended up on – an odd calendar year. So, but looking forward to the group we have coming. We have, you know, we have some great programs coming. We have a number of, just perennial strong programs. And so, that's going to be a great experience to start the season off. And I look forward to it. Butte's a great host. We've tried to be very, very good hosts in this tournament, and so I'll look forward to those folks coming up and experiencing Montana.
We're running three courts?
We're running two courts.
Two courts, okay.
We're running two courts again, and we were able to create a really good schedule. It's going to be a three-day schedule. So with that, we were able to spread some games out. The two courts is a little bit closer to the setup in Sioux City
okay.
for Nationals, the way they had it set up these last few years. And for us, it allows us to have a little bit bigger playing surface by going yeah. two courts instead of three. And to me, for the level of play that we have been at, that's really important to me as a coach and the overall experience. And it's very much, very, very worth it.
Okay. So let me, and that's obviously first out of the gates, and that is, again, at the Butte Civic Center. What are our dates, brother?
August 21, 22, and 23.
Okay. And we'll get schedules up and get all that on godiggers.com. Make sure to get people up and informed and ready for the Big Sky Challenge, which will kick off your season.
Yeah, absolutely.
So as we look at the Frontier Conference schedule, as we continually talk about the addition of the schools to the east in the Dakotas and Nebraska, me knowing very little, as you know better than most, that feels like that addition is going to be good for us in a lot of ways because it feels like there's some power coming out of those schools. I think Bellevue is a team that is perennially very good. You talked about Valley City, meeting them in the national tournament. It feels like they are going to elevate the volleyball side of things for the expanded Frontier Conference.
Oh, the profile really has grown. Like you said, I couldn't tell you what our record was last year or who or what we finished, but Bellevue did finish in the finals last year. They were in the pool with Providence. Providence won that match in their pool play against Bellevue, and then that pool went to the worst case scenario of athletics is this tiebreak thing that volleyball does in Sioux City. Bellevue advanced out of that pool through the tiebreak, which is one set to 25. Providence finished as the high seed in that tiebreak. So, you know, we're sitting there, it's 10:30 at night, and, you know, hey, congrats, you won your 10 o'clock match today, and it's 10:30 at night, and everyone's gotten their naps in and dinner and comes back and plays again.
Yeah, you got a set.
Yeah, but Bellevue has been consistently a really high-level program, and they're returning a tremendous amount of their roster. So they're absolutely going to be a strong program. Dakota State has been consistently up there and really competitive, a national tournament team. They were in the national tournament again last year.
Okay.
And same as Valley City. Valley City has been consistently that program that on their you know, kind of a 50-50. They're in the national tournament, you know, every other year or two out of three or you know, three out of five. They're in that bulk as well. So, and the other programs, not to discredit, we've had a lot of crossover from our league to those teams, and games are going five, and there are wins on that side as well with the teams I'm not even naming. You know, Mayville and Dickinson have been winning a lot of games lately, and as well. So, and are kind of climbing programs. So, when you talk about it, I mean, I know Bellevue finished in the top couple. Western had a really big win at the national tournament, which jumped them into the top 10 on the final poll.
Mm-hmm.
Providence was the team that won our league and was the highest ranked team going into the tournament. We were right in the mix as well. So, you know, Dakota State is probably just a top 30 team, if not top 25 year in and year out. So, yeah, it's certainly going to be new challenges, and I look forward to them for ourselves, but then the sick part of me goes, I really look forward to it for everyone else, see how they respond.
Talk us through how you get your rotation set. Did you have an area? Did you try and get your rotation set by the time you got to conference? Did you use those kind of tournaments at times? And how does that change now with how much quicker we're butting right up into conference? Do you see that as an issue, something that you look forward to? Kind of walk us through that a little bit.
Yeah, that's a little bit of the puzzle, the solving the puzzle. And I love that part. I love to see the strengths, love to see where the weaknesses are. The spreadsheets, I'm incredibly math driven on a lot of these things and keeping track in practice. So, I can only track so much. Christy and I can only track so much live in practice. So every day my video breakdown is a little bit of, is a lot of that. Just identifying who's hitting what in which scenarios, which rotations are scoring to our standard, which are not, how do we need to make those adjustments, you know, personnel-wise in such and such combo. We know if you and I are both playing on the court together, we're terrible, so getting rid of one of us was probably good. Getting rid of both of us was probably better.
Yeah.
And who is the best to replace us with, right? So that part is a lot of fun. I think I've spent a lot of time reevaluating maybe the metrics that I want to measure. And so in that sense, a little bit of the secret sauce too of saying, hey, this is what I want to value the most. Who can help fill that role? Can we all be on the same page and understand this is more important than that? And I need to see you guys really excel in such an area, right?
Yeah. When you're talking about scouting and the idea of, hey, I guess break it down if you can, when we get into season, say we're neck deep in conference season, what is the percentage you're scouting yourself as opposed to scouting the opponent?
The usual nature is to probably spend too much time scouting the opponent and not enough time on us. I try as much as I can to spend the bulk of that early time is obviously just about us. But I think a good program is you want to provide enough information that it's not overwhelming, but just half a step beyond where they're at, you know, to scouting an opponent, because that'll grow and develop the process over the course of the year. So I think something we've done well is when we have the opportunity to really, really scout an opponent thoroughly, I think we've found much better results. You know, early in the season's obviously hard to do when a team hasn't really played much. You don't have much information to go on, and our program is new. You know, your team is new, so what they're trying to understand at the time, just like I told you about Reese. You know, they'll smile, nod, they look really engaged, and then they walk out there and go, "Whoa, what was that about?"
Deer
in the headlights. But not obviously not for intention, but. I think what I enjoy the most is we have exceptionally bright, they're brilliant in so many ways. So, yeah. You know, if I can tell them, you know, hey, and I'm identifying two of their six rotations as a real opportunity for us to exploit something. Here they are. Here's their tendency. You know, and then they can start to understand that when they also start to understand, hey, mid match, and I can tell our middle, hey, on a good pass, this is the focus. Let's adjust our scheme real quick on the fly. Experience helps, and experience matters. You know, one, to process and do that. Two, the trust factor. To say, I'm willing to trust you, even if it doesn't go that way, right? So mm-hmm. if I'm going to say, hey, I think as a 50-50 shot, 50% of the balls are going to this one player in this scenario. I want you to... You know, I want you to show and leave early, essentially, is what we might do with our middle or someone else. You know, we're gonna make a blocking scheme change here after the first serve, and you know, Reese scores a point. I know they just scored. They're gonna want to. They need to win this point. We know where they're gonna go with it. Let's try to jump them here. Those are those scenarios that kind of continue to change the game for you as we're trying to squeak out on thin margins, I guess is what I'd say.
It always feels like different conferences and different regions, and it's probably more regional than it is conference. Each region kind of has its own identity in the realm of sports.
Yeah.
For us people in the Frontier Conference that have been in it neck deep for decades, when we add our new schools, what kind of identity do the new schools have, or did they have, that they're going to bring to the Montana schools, in your opinion?
I love that question, because I was of all the things I listen to or don't listen to, I was trying to pull up film of one of the teams this last week, and instead I got a podcast on YouTube from one of the programs, and they were talking about us in the same light, and that was by far the best thing I did that day.
Okay.
It was listening to them, and they were speaking about our program.
Okay.
So it was a lot of fun to hear their impressions of us.
Do you listen as like a parent in that situation? Do you get instantly offended if something is said, or yeah.
Oh, gosh. You know me well enough to know that if I have a strength in life, it's probably not caring too much about too many people's opinions.
That's, that is well said and understated.
That was a developed, that was, and that truly had to become a developed skill for me. That was something early in my career. I spent a lot of time. When I had to do my own postseason evaluations, I said, man, how much time did I waste spending worrying about, you know, X, Y, or Z and all that. But it was fun. It was actually Michelle at Valley City. I wanted to pull up a game to see a few of their players from last year and just watch her and the gentleman they were working with, he must've been at the final site when we were there. And so they were talking about a program of just, he says, well, what is the style? And she goes, well, they're just – basically they were saying how big we are. Physically, we have tall, big players everywhere. And, And I would say that's been very true of the Frontier in a lot of ways. I think Arunas had done that for years, and he shifted away from it a little bit about 3-4 years ago. But by and large, we have had incredible size in our conference, and so that's, while there's some things I am targeting for the new teams that are different, I also have a few games on our preseason schedule that I think these teams are going to help us prepare for that.
Okay.
So the first time we see that nuance of what those teams default to if they're in a bad situation, teams have different styles for sure. Mm-hmm. And so what they're doing and how they're going about it, I really do have a few games eyeballed to saying, hey, the cumulative preseason is going to help us prepare for some of these things that maybe we don't see every day in our gym.
Yeah.
And so we'll certainly prepare for it, and we'll certainly see it early in the year. And it's going to be critical when we're on the road and we're seeing teams under pressure. I think by the nature of it, we will be a team that is also different for them. The joke that number one is hit ball hard. If we're not taking big full swings, then there is a problem. And we certainly want to be able to handle the opportunities we can't take a full swing, but how we do that. But my a big emphasis is how many balls on our side can we take a huge swing at, and what does that mean? One of the best things I can do is to prepare them is to just prepare them to be in a position to hit the ball as hard as I can. And so, sometimes technique wise too, of how can we create more power with more of our players? But I think we have a roster that's going to be set up to be successful there.
Anybody who has watched your teams realize that obviously that aggression is who you have been. That just kind of just hammer it at them and hopefully they make the mistakes first. I don't know any other way to put that, honestly. Sure. Does it feel like the Dakota schools or our new Frontier schools, is there more of a meticulous nature to them, or is there?
No, there's probably more of a defensive style, long points, long rallies, yep. Keeping the ball in play, applying pressure to the opponent, trying to get them to make mistakes, and then capitalize. And when you get in that sort of system, and we're playing a team like that, it does not mean that they're not going to take some big swings. Mm-hmm. It just means they're fewer and far between, which gets you off tilt a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. I'm used to running everywhere, and then we do get a good swing, and then a player naturally will start thinking about that swing, and the next ball that's pushed or thrown or tipped or placed somewhere, maybe unconventional, gets you as well. And so yes to all of that. The direction that I've always approached this with, though, is we have not won the league many a times. We have gotten second place plenty of times. We've not gotten second place plenty of times. But at the end of the season, a team that plays in that style is not going to win. And I can't tell you that the last time I saw one of those teams in the Final Four. So, or the Final Eight or whatever, right? Yeah. So, I'm always happy to put my foot in my mouth. I'm happy to say I'm not playing for second place or playing to be a second tier program.
Yeah.
And so I want to encourage our team to learn what a top-tier program looks like, what it feels like, how it approaches elements of the game, and then let the chips fall where they are. I'm sure there have been matches over my career that had we played it a little safer, we would have won. And I could tell you which program in the Frontier did that for years and had good success but could never win at the national tournament. Rather than going that way, I would just say I want our program to continue to play to a standard that can win any day against any opponent.
Yeah. In that said, who are the key components of that in your estimation this year?
Oh boy, million-dollar question.
Obviously, from my perspective, I look at Kennedy as one of the hardest hitting machines known to mankind.
Does
that put a lot of pressure on her coming into her senior year, or is she a person that it doesn't feel that kind of pressure?
I Pressure's such a relative waste of my time.
Yeah.
that idea. I need the number of your therapist. I know that I appreciate the nature of your question, yeah. Thinking about it in that sense is I don't know.
Yeah.
We want to play to our standard, and outcomes will be a byproduct of that. But in the same question,
I love you. That said, and that is exactly who you are, and that's exactly the way we talk. But yet, you'll be in your office, and you will have the Excel sheet out as far as what hitting percentage we need to be at.
Oh yeah.
How many swings per set? How many swings per point? I mean, that stuff you'll have mapped out. But
I do.
Yet, yeah.
That process is clear and it's mapped out to me.
Yes.
And I feel like that may be our strength when we can say, you know, Kennedy, that was a great 2 days of practice, or it wasn't a great 2 days of practice. I don't know. That's arbitrary. What I need you to do is end more points. Because I can look at this and say, this feels like it was a good day, but I need you to end more points.
Mm-hmm.
And I've told them, you're not aggressive enough. I want you to lose more points because you're in the nature, you're going to win more if you're being this aggressive. A volleyball hitting percentage, you know, the easiest one to relate it to is baseball. You know, a 300, yep. Oh, that's a 300 hitter, that's a Hall of Fame, right? 300 hitter in volleyball is really, really high level.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely a Mendoza line in volleyball, but not all 300s are equal.
Exactly.
So the general math of it, right, is if I have three kills on 10 swings and no errors, that's 300. Let me do the math. If I have six kills and three errors on 10 swings, the 6-3, we're still at 300.
Mm-hmm.
But I have won twice as many points as I lost, and there's only one ball in play. Well, that's kind of a magical scenario.
Yeah.
Right. That means I won 2-1, and there's only one 50-50 ball left. So not all things are equal. Why are you laughing?
I love it. I love when the math gets going. I am a math geek at heart. Like, okay. I love that side of it as well. And then that's an outside, and then that math completely changes when you change to the middle.
Oh, sure, sure, sure. I mean, so, the concept is good for whichever position you want, but mm-hmm. we need to end more points than we did last year. And that was clear. I knew it during the season, but it was clear. It's clearly something that if we want to have a better season, we need to be stronger there. We need to end more points and score faster.
And I apologize to kind of change stream a little bit, but let's talk about the middle a little bit, because that feels like a place where you have been extremely sound for a number of years.
Very good in the middle.
And now that you've got a little bit of a question mark, what do you, as of right now, before we even start fall, what are your expectations and what are your hopes for who do you have in the middle that could possibly make some waves this year?
Well, we're primarily looking at three players in the middle, and that combination and that standard is definitely something that we need to address. We graduated. Yeah, this is the first year that we're gonna be starting two new middles, Kennedy Oman is a transfer. She was here with us in the spring, and that was pivotal. Her opportunity to work with us in the spring was a huge foundation for what I think she's going to be able to do this fall.
Okay.
Madison Beery is she had a couple spot starts for us last year.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely her first action was at home against Western when Alexis rolled her ankle 2 minutes before we started the match.
Mm-hmm.
And we looked at her and said, you're in. That's what, you know, ready, set, go. And so I think the opportunity that she had it to be on the court is really going to help her this year. And then we have who you mentioned is maybe the best all-around athlete we've ever had on the female side at Montana Tech. And Abby Clark is going to be playing, hopefully, in the middle. And we're looking to those three to be the solution for what we graduated last year.
when you talk about Abby in the middle, she played a little bit on the right side last year. Played, it felt like she was kind of all over at times for his swing. And is middle her spot, or is it still kind of a where we're going to slot you in and where you fit's the best fit for you?
That's a great question. Can I answer that by saying yes?
Sure, feel free. I mean, yes, I understand that, how that works.
For Abby as well, you know, when she started last year, I thought we obviously had more experience in the middle, and that was, and the depth to not to try to just focus in one area. But with that, with us graduating and our program shifting and changing, I think it's a good position for her to focus to and see where we can get with those three holding that down.
When you get away from the net, feels like JJ had another one that had been there for years.
She had.
Where are you at with the libero?
Well, we have currently six of them on the roster, and so that is another giant black hole in my brain.
Okay. Going,
I look forward to seeing them compete. I do. We had last year, we also had in the regular rotation Malia, who's going to be a senior this year. We had Emmy Green playing on the regular rotation, who's also going to be a senior. And then we had two freshmen that played really pivotal roles and were consistently on the court for us with Austin and Brooklyn. So, that competition and the opportunity to daily be under pressure, to daily be failing, to daily have to reevaluate and reassess. That's where I think the growth's going to be for the bulk of our players in that sense. We have some years, here's a coaching secret, some years on the, so I'll say this, I'll give you a total generality. On the female athletes, from my experience, hypercritical of themselves.
Horribly.
And with that, you can have real competition, and they're going to be hypercritical. You can have perceived competition that it feels like there's competition, but they're still going to be hypercritical of themselves and really evaluating and all that, right? Mm-hmm. This year, the competition is very serious. I mean, I've joked and said I should just send them all in the judo room, and the two that come out first – of survivor mode, two we should start with.
I don't think we have a key to that room.
Sorry. No, John doesn't give me a key.
Yeah, he
hasn't
let us in there.
But no, the competition there is tremendous, and the opportunity for me in practice to get them in that moment is really easy. You know that we're gonna great teams can pass well, and a friend of mine was down at the National. With the national team, he was in the gym while they were practicing before they started VNL, which was about a month ago. And he said they spent a 2.5 hour practice just passing, and that's all they did. And we're going to be in that position as well, probably more than I did last year. And so for that, it'll be great. You know, we have, when I look at the board and the depth chart, we have six that could be playing on the right side, that are probably an honest six. You know, we have an honest four that could be playing on the left side for us. The problem is you only get to play, you know, two in that zone and two in this zone. So
yeah,
the competition will be great. The players that are ready and can rise to that will definitely be easy to identify, and it'll be great to identify who's growing and climbing and going to be challenging it soon. So you know, those are great positions for us to be in. And you know, we say that now, and on day one, someone rolls an ankle or is sick or, you know, moved away from you know, moved away and is going through those challenges, and it's impacting them there. And they, you know, everyone has their difficulties, and so we'll see how we can develop together.
Well, again, let's talk about Big Sky Challenge, August 21st, 2nd, and 3rd.
Okay.
Correct. Dubuque Civic Center.
The Mighty Ore Diggers will be playing once on Thursday night.
Against?
I had to pull it up. Against Campbellsville.
Okay.
And then we have two games on Friday. The tournament will proceed and continue on to Saturday with a full slate of games. But because of our conference expansion, we could only play two two of the dates. Okay. That's just based off of our rules. So we're playing the early 2 days.
Okay.
And then...
how many teams overall?
That's a great question. It's like asking my record. I believe we have 11 or 12.
Okay. I mean, it's always really good talent from all around the country.
It is.
And it's that part is fun. And it is. I don't... I'm a fan of Campbellsville. Like I love it.
Absolutely.
Especially the women's side of things. I've been able to call several of their women's basketball games, see their volley. I mean, they do things right.
Well, they've been a very good athletic department, very good program over the years. And to highlight them and William Carey. William Carey's come from Mississippi. They were in the pool with Montana Western last year. Returned the basically their entire roster.
Hello.
So, and they were loaded with freshmen, sophomores last year, heavily international roster. So that'll be another team that's probably obviously ahead of us as far as some experience goes. But we'll look forward to the challenges.
That's awesome. So again, that's the 21st, 22nd, 23rd of August. Then conference, you got one trip. You're on the road for one tournament, and then it's conference season, just like that.
It'll be great. It's going to be a long conference season, and I say that in a good way. It's going to present challenges for us, some that we're conditioned for, some that will be new, but it'll be just as much of a challenge for everyone else, and so it'll be fun to see and see how those things adapt and go through the year. We're used to that academic challenge and rigor. Usually, I'll just peg it third week of September. I'll say something like that. That first going on, first wave of real second wave of real hard tests. You know, you can. Any student athlete can get a little shock value in their first test. Go, oh man, that Kim test was hard. I did not do well.
Yeah.
But then the second one comes and they go, oh my gosh, I have to question my life choices. And by the way, we're going to be at Bellevue and Dakota State that weekend. So, and then come home and go to Carroll and Rocky the next weekend. So we have, we have 2 weeks of four road games there. And, you know, it's the stuff that we're used to. And honestly, we do have a lot of returners as well that'll be able to help us, and they will have that consistency and experience under them. So, those will be we have fun and unique challenges based off of our academics.
Yeah,
and I firmly believe that's what makes them special.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah,
it's going to be an incredibly fun year. There's going to be a whole lot of learning going on from top to bottom, and I mean from very top to bottom, and how things work in the Frontier Conference, the newly expanded Frontier Conference. 11 home matches for Montana Tech Volleyball. You can find those at godiggers.com, and you can also, as of today, this being Friday, you can get your season tickets for volleyball. You can find those on our you can just click on tickets. You'll see the season ticket there. Also, the individual game tickets are officially on sale as well. So make sure to get those in hand and get ready to go, because it's going to be here before we know it. 100%.
Well, we sure look forward to it. I can't wait to get started on Friday.
Were you looking at Spruce Moths? I mean, how long is Spruce Moth going to last us?
I don't know. Not long enough. That must be the absolute funnest.
Is that your favorite?
It is one of my favorite, because I'll tell you, because I only sneak down occasionally, and it's that hour and a half, 2 hour window of going, you know what? We're going to be off. We just finished the tournament, or whatever it is. Like, I know I have a 2 hour window.
Did you just say I only sneak down occasionally?
Yes. Edit this out. But I will tell you, when there's almost no water rolling, and it's not yet. But when the nights are cold, that morning is still cool. The water's cold.
So good.
And those fish haven't seen a dry fly in 6 weeks, and they will absolutely explode or just. Yeah, the big hole's running at 300 CFS. There's no water. It's cold. It's beautiful out in the morning, fall, or whatever it is. I don't even know what it is, but I was told by my friends that the spruce moths have started.
Oh, because you only get out occasionally.
On occasion. One of my favorite memories is taking Chloe down there, and it must have been 3 or 4 years ago. I had a picture of it kicked up on my phone, and you know, we're just sitting down there, you know, she wants to try to fish or not fish, or I can fish for a few minutes. And it's not necessarily just catching fish. It's just sitting down there, you know, I have a spot on the big hole that I was with her on. And I certainly think of it every time I can, if I could think of one spot, it's that. And she probably wouldn't even know where it was.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. But I was, yeah, it's more of those special memories and by the way, the fishing can be phenomenal too.
I like how you try to change the subject there. That was good.
Yeah.
I'm glad you did so, but I'm calling Bravo.
To all of our friends in Cambodia listening, everyone else, come check out the big hole. Mid-August, spruce moss. It's a great experience.
Go to godiggers.com for the schedule. Get your season tickets. Again, did we mention 11 home matches for Frontier Conference Volleyball? Feels so crazy to say that, but it's so good.
It's going to be fantastic.
It's going to be awesome.
This team's going to be fun. They're going to be a very it's a different look, and I'm looking forward to that challenge of new pieces, new puzzle, and how do we get this group to develop into a championship caliber program?
Well, and we will check in on Roll Digs briefly before we get into the tournament, and we'll see how the, you know, couple weeks of progress, see if your calm demeanor is still the same come August 20th, the day before we light them up at the Butte Civic Center.
Well, I can't wait for it.
The one, the only, Coach Brian Sutton. Ladies and gentlemen, from Montana Tech Volleyball. Again, the ladies are in and ready to roll. That Big Sky Challenge coming up August 21st, 2nd, and 3rd down to the Butte Civic Center. You can find out more information on that on our website at godiggers.com. And also, I would like to make sure that you're aware you can purchase season tickets for volleyball on our website as well. Go to godiggers.com. You'll see the ticket little button toward the top, and you can purchase your volleyball season tickets as well as your football season tickets, which are still live there as well. So, again, we'll check in with Coach Brian Solomon as we get closer to that tournament, see how fall is gone, and kind of get you ready for those big matches coming up during the Big Sky Challenge. Once again, my thanks to Coach Brian Solomon. Coming up next on Roll Digs, we'll check in with one of our other fall sporting programs, and that will be football, as Coach Kyle Sampson and the Digs on the field getting ready for fall ball. That will start on Monday, August 4th. And, of course, they're getting geared up for the Copper game, which is August 28th. It's a Thursday night 6 o'clock matchup against the Bulldogs of Montana Western. So a lot of great stuff coming up here on Roll Digs. It's going to be a busy fall. It's going to be a great season ahead of us. And, as always, thanks for joining us here on Roll Digs. Make sure to like and share and leave a note and tell all your pals. And we're going to have some fun here as we get this season underway on Roll Digs. Till next time, I'm Paul Podisco. Take care.